G'day, it's Phil Edwards, Vision CEO here, with a quick invitation to become part of this amazing beacon of hope called Vision. Together we can put our love into action to help people of all kinds build or rebuild their lives on the truth of God. Please consider the part you can play during our upcoming Visionathon appeal, remembering that it's your support that makes Vision possible, including this podcast.
A biblical perspective on life, culture and current events. This is 2020 on Vision.
Well, there are proposed changes to prostitution laws in the state of Queensland. The Queensland government is moving to fully decriminalise prostitution in Queensland. And now, if a new bill passes, the state will treat prostitution like any other legitimate work. Christian leaders are concerned about a number of things. Things like higher rates of sex trafficking, increased violence and abuse, higher youth crime rates, even the prospect of sex work being offered as a legitimate career choice for school leavers. Well, Andrew McColl is Family Voice Australia State Director for Queensland. He's back with us. Hey, Andrew, welcome back to 2020.
Good morning, Neil, and it's good to be back with you. Good morning, listeners.
Now, Andrew, what we'll talk about primarily focused on the state of Queensland, but I wonder if you've got any understanding of the way prostitution laws are looking in other states and territories around the nation. Are they similar, or is Queensland leading the pack here?
Queensland's not leading the pack. It's going along with the pack. And Victoria and New South Wales already have decriminalisation of prostitution, as does the Northern Territory. So we're right in the middle of the pack in this attempt or this plan to decriminalise prostitution here in Queensland.
Okay, so as Christian believers, and we recognise prostitution is a reality, it's called the oldest profession, maybe you can never stamp it out, but you may well be able to be a steward and manage what might be going on. But where do we start? And I know you love to come back to Scripture for a Christian understanding of what we ought to be thinking about these sorts of issues. Where do we start as Christian believers?
Well, I think we come back to the Ten Commandments in Exodus, and the seventh commandment, which is Exodus 20, verse 14, says, "You shall not commit adultery." In the next book of the Pentateuch, or of the Old Testament, which is Leviticus chapter 19, verse 29, it tells us, "Do not profane your daughter by making her a harlot, so that the land will not fall to harlotry and the land become full of lewdness." Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4 tells us marriage is to be held in honour among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers God will judge. So the biblical context for all sexual contact is marriage between a man and a woman. Anything else is going to be sin. We who believe this know it has personal and practical applications. Some things I must not do. And every woman should accept the counsel that Proverbs chapter 9 provides for the wise woman.
Now, let's just bring to context here. You mentioned that scripture in Leviticus. Made my imagination pick up when you read that one out. Because somehow or other, it seems to be that people think that, oh, well, just legalizing brothels or decriminalizing prostitution is a little bit like, well, let's just have an experiment with this and see whether this is good. But when you read out of Leviticus, so that the land will not fall to harlotry and the land become full of lewdness, there's clearly a history here that shows what happens when you take all stops out and you take away all of those parameters. And it looks as though to me that a biblical foundation might just lead us to understanding that what we're headed for is pretty severe. Well, any thoughts from you on that?
Well, Neil, this is right. You're quite on the money there, because what we also read in the Old Testament was that one of the reasons God was sending his people into the promised land was because of the behavior of the people that lived in the promised land. And it's pretty evident that their behavior was wicked. And so you had various forms of wickedness, including sexual wickedness. God told them to go in there and clean it up and wipe it out, wipe all of that old, all of those old behavior patterns and indeed that culture out. So what we're confronting here is change in culture, change in the way people do things. Now, I'm the first person to acknowledge that you cannot simply by law wipe out practices that we know are wrong, but you can certainly do lots of things with law that will certainly minimize these things. We do know that in, say, in Solomon's day, there was harlotry taking place. There was prostitution. And as you know, that famous example where Solomon was called upon to judge between the baby. One woman had a baby, another woman had a baby, one of them had died in the night. So there was a controversy about this. Solomon had to make a judgment about that, and he did. So obviously this is not something new in culture or in Western culture. We're talking about, if you're talking about Solomon, we're talking about around about 1000 BC. So we're not talking about simply making laws alone. We have to think about the impact of law on culture, on society, what we want in our community and what we would try and minimise or even possibly eliminate.
Okay, let's come back to a focus on the state of Queensland. And this is your stamping ground, your responsibility. Let me just ask you, what is it that the Queensland State Government is wanting to do? Is there something that you can just, is there a simple way of saying this is where we're headed with this particular bill?
Yes. Now, I've got a document that the State Government has put out which says that the objective of this bill is to establish a legal framework that will enact a safe, decriminalised sex work industry in Queensland while improving the health, safety, rights and legal protections for sex workers. So clearly our Attorney General has no time for God, no time for the Bible or for the family's protection.
What I pick up as you deliver just a little short paragraph on that is that there are some words in there that ought to make you think, what's the reality here? Because we talk about a legal framework that will enact a safe work industry, you said, improving the health and the safety and the rights and legal protections for sex workers. It might seem to be that those sorts of words, they might almost make you think, here we go again, a promise of safety for a practice which actually is very, very unsafe. Any thoughts around that before we move forward?
Well, yes, you're absolutely right. The fact is that there are major health and safety concerns for prostitutes, some of whom have described what they do as paid rape. Prostitution is a form of sexual servitude with violence and inherent risk in the job. It's not safe. And unlike any other occupation, the Queensland Crime and Misconduct Commission in 1991 indicated that prostitution is inherently violent. So talk about making something safe and decriminalised. There are lots of contradictions in that term. I mean, it sounds, oh, good, it's safe. Well, it's not. And to decriminalise it means that it's just like carpentry or painting or what some other practice that people engage in for a living, and that is not the same. It's much, much different.
Around the world, and no doubt in Australia too, whenever you've got prostitution, there's often links to organised crime. I mean, is that something that, you know, maybe the government's trying to, trying to control an industry, but what are your thoughts here around the thought that that organised crime is typically involved in prostitution?
Well, it's true because there is that link very commonly to organised crime, and this only begins with crimes against women who are not protected from violent, cruel men. As Professor Aileen Byrne reported to the Queensland CJC in 1991. We must have the law on our side. And so, and further to that, the exploitation of women by trafficking for the sex industry is clearly linked to legalised prostitution in Australia. If the federal police officer Chris Payne could claim that there are anything up to 500 Asian women working in Sydney at any time on false papers, working in brothels, there's clearly an incentive to bring unauthorised girls and women to Australia, and the evidence indicates that it happens on a large scale.
What might we think, Andrew, around issues regarding children here? Because, you know, it might be all very good to try and make some laws for adults. There's a big grey area and children get drawn into these things. Thoughts around children?
Well, yes. What we know is that a legalised prostitution inevitably leads to the exploitation and abuse of underage children, especially girls. Now, permitting this in any other context in Queensland today is a criminal offence.
Now, I know that in the state of South Australia, when they've been talking through issues around prostitution, they've sort of become the closest to at least acknowledging that there is a different way of looking at things. And so they call it the Nordic model or the equality model around prostitution. I don't know whether that's being considered in Queensland. You might have some more understanding of that. But what are your thoughts around alternative models that governments perhaps need to think very seriously about?
Well, as I'm saying, if you look at decriminalising a practice which is hostile to the family, it's kind of suicidal, isn't it? And Rob Norman, who is the Queensland Director of Australian Christian Lobby, has written in their submission to the Parliament in Queensland is that the Nordic legislation is also referred to as a human rights or equality model because of its focus on respect for women and the fact that it addresses the human rights violations that accompany prostitution. It provides exit strategies for those wishing to leave the sex industry, as well as providing freedom to report abuse with immunity. It fosters a culture that respects women and resists violence against women. It's not about shaming men, but about changing the culture. So we think that the Nordic model at Family Voice is probably the best way to proceed in terms of the laws of prostitution in Queensland. We think that it should lead over time to a significant reduction in prostitution in Queensland, making it an offence for anyone to pay money for sex.
Okay, come around our Christian attitudes here, because, you know, some will be saying, oh, tut, tut, let's not even talk about prostitution. Well, we're not afraid to talk about it in this program. Christian attitudes to these sorts of things, rolling up your sleeves, getting a little bit, you know, into the nitty-gritty of life. Where do you see Christians taking some level of action here?
Well, the point of the matter of the gospel is that the gospel is good news, and Christians are not supposed to stand idly by when governments wish to perpetrate evil in their community. Rather, we should always act out of our biblical convictions. That is what set apart the Good Samaritan. And that's how we make a difference. I once heard the expression, it's a very basic common one, that men of action have satisfaction. And Proverbs 28 verse 1 tells us that the righteous are bold as a lion. So legalized prostitution is an assault on the family and the community. And as the saying goes, evil triumphs when good men do nothing. Now, speaking of good men, you would know of the northern Queensland city called Gladstone. It was named after William Gladstone, who was a Prime Minister of England. William Gladstone was a believer. William Gladstone and his wife took into their home prostitutes to help them and to prepare them for a different life. He was a godly man. Now, What can we do? Well, I would suggest that you email or call your local state government MP in this matter, passing on your thoughts and asking your MP to vote against the Attorney General's recommendation to legalise prostitution in Queensland. Yes, prostitution isn't a very pleasant subject, but we must deal with it. It can't be stopped overnight, and the Nordic model is far superior. And the last thing we note, Neil, as an MP, is know how to count votes.
Okay, action is a necessity here, and you've got to engage to make your views known. Just come back. I mentioned just in the introduction about what Christian leaders are concerned about. A larger sex industry, higher rates of sex trafficking, increased violence and abuse of prostituted people, higher youth crime rates, even the prospect of sex work as a legitimate career choice offered to high school students who might be graduating high school. As a parent, you've got to cringe at some of this because you wouldn't like the thought that someone might be fishing for your child to move into sex work as a career choice after school. Any thoughts here for parents who might be thinking, well, this is very distasteful?
Yep, it is very distasteful, of course. And we don't enjoy talking about it, but talking about it we must. So we have to say, well, I would say to parents of children, you've got to be mindful about the company your children keep. You've got to be mindful of the school or institution that they attend if they're going to a school. You have to think about the kind of peer group our children are with. Peer group is very influential. And so we have to be wise, sensible, and keeping close tabs on the kind of people our children are associating with, and keeping tabs on things like the internet and such things as pornography, dare I say it. Yes, we must deal with these things because they are enemies of the family, and Christians need to be awake and understand these things and simply go about the business of training your children in the word of the Lord, in God's good plan for their life, which in 95% of cases is marriage and family.
Enemies of the family. And Andrew McColl, you're a champion of the family, and you're the Queensland State Director for Family Voice Australia. And I know that listeners will resonate with so many of the thoughts you've just delivered to us in this past 20 minutes or so. But familyvoice.org.au to connect with Family Voice Australia. That's their website, Family Voice Australia. No doubt there'll be some resources, there'll be some updates, there'll be some articles that may be appearing there on the Family Voice website. You can connect with Andrew McColl at familyvoice.org.au. Andrew, thanks so much for another good update today on 2020.
Always a pleasure, Neil.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.